Okay, get back here. Welcome, Commissioner, staff, and members of the public to the Tampa and the December 11th, 2018 plenary session of the Florida Building Commission. As Chairman Carlson's designated vice chair, I will serve as acting chair until the governor makes an appointment. The primary focus of the December meeting is to consider regular procedural issues, including product entity and approvals, applications for creditor and course approvals, petitions for declaratory statements, accessibility waivers, and recommendations from our various committees and work groups. Specific actions including receiving and accepting a report from the University of Florida regarding the Hurricane Michael Initial Damage Assessment Project. Members of the public are requested to sign the attendance sheet on the speaker's table in the center of the room. In addition, we have a sign-up sheet for general public comment. As always, we will provide an opportunity for public comment on each of the Commission's substantive discussion items. These are actions that are not procedural or ministerial in content. If you want to commit a comment on a specific substantive Commission agenda item, please come to the speaker's table when the issue is up for consideration so we know you want to speak. Public input is welcome, but should be offered before a formal motion is on the floor. Please remember to keep all electronic devices turned off or in silent mode. Thank you for your cooperation. Those of you licensed to the Building Code Administrators and Inspectors Board attending the Commission meeting and interested in CE credits must complete the CE sign-in sheet in the binder located on the speaker's table in the center of the room. Now, Jeff Blair will conduct roll call.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Schock?
Here.
Commissioner Badori?
Here.
Commissioner Batts?
Here.
Commissioner Boyer?
Here.
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Smith Burke?
Here.
Commissioner Kaya?
Here.
Commissioner Compton?
Here.
Commissioner Dean?
Here.
Commissioner Flanagan?
Here.
Commissioner Gatlin?
Here.
Commissioner Gerwig?
Here.
Commissioner Gilson? Commissioner Goff?
Here.
Commissioner Gross?
Here.
Commissioner Hamburger?
Here.
Commissioner John?
Here.
Commissioner Langille?
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer?
I'm here.
Commissioner Schilling?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Stone?
Here.
Commissioner Swope?
Here.
Commissioner Whitehead?
Here.
Commissioner Weissman?
Here.
Commissioner Worrell?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 26 of 26 seated members present constituting a quorum.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff will now review the agenda proposed for the December's Commission meeting.
Thank you, and welcome everybody. Today's agenda will be to approve our regular procedural issues, the agenda, the minutes, to hear from the chair's recommendations, executive director's announcements and discussion, accessibility waiver applications, approval of products and entities, applications for creditor and course approval, receive a briefing on legal report, consider and decide on petitions for declaratory statements, and then to receive a presentation from the University of Florida regarding Hurricane Michael initial triage damage assessment, and then to hear from our various committees, take public comment, and at the end of the meeting to provide a brief orientation for our three new commissioners.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there a motion to approve the December 11th, 2018 agenda as presented? Moved by Commissioner Schilling and seconded by Commissioner Schiffer. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Next will be the approval of the October 8, 2018 Facilitator Summary Report and meeting minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to the posted October 8, 2018 Facilitator Summary Report and the meeting minutes that were posted electronically in advance of this meeting? Is there a motion?
Schiffer and Schilling.
The motion was made by Commissioner Schiffer and seconded by Commissioner Schilling. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll go to the chair's discussion issues and recommendations. And we'll first discuss appointments, commission reappointments, and appointments. The governor has made the following reappointments to the commission. Hamid Bahadori of Lake Mary is vice president of Jensen Hughes Incorporated and is reappointed for a term beginning November 16, 2018, ending February 7, 2021. We are pleased to retain Hamid as the commission fire protection technologist representative. John Gatlin of Tallahassee is the chief engineer of the Florida Bureau for Fire Prevention. He will fill the vacant seat for the state insurance representative seat and is appointed to a term beginning November 16, 2018, ending March 11, 2021. Welcome to the commission, John. David John, of Tarpon Springs, is an engineer manager of Stan Weaver and Company. He succeeds Steve Bassett, who is rolling off the commission as the mechanical engineer's representative. Dave is appointed for a term beginning November 16, 2018, ending December 8, 2021. Welcome to the commission, Dave. David. John Wiseman of Nokomis is the president of Core Construction Services of Florida, LLC. He fills a vacant general contractor seat and is appointed to a term beginning November 16, 2018 and ending February 11, 2021. Welcome to the commission, John. On behalf of the commission, I would like to appreciate Steve Bassett for his years of service on the commission. Steve served multiple terms during the early years of the commission before rolling off. Subsequently, he was once again appointed to the commission on August 27th of 2013 and served until he recently rolled off in November 16th of 2018. In addition, Steve served on the Energy TAC, multiple work groups, and as an immediate past chair of the Mechanical TAC. We commend and thank Steve for his years of dedicated service to the citizens of Florida. Being Christmas, I'll miss his Christmas outfit that he always wore. TAC appointments, structural TAC. The chair was approved. Our chair has approved the appointment of Michael Garasso to a structural TAC to replace the retiring Chris Verdelman. Thanks to Michael for agreeing to serve, and thanks to Chris for his years of dedicated service on the TAC. On the swimming pool TAC, the chair has approved the appointment of Michael Garasso to the swimming pool TAC to replace the retiring Chris Verdelman. Thanks to Michael for agreeing to serve, and again, thanks to Chris for his years of dedicated service on the TAC. Work group appointments, the Fenestration Water Resistant Work Group. The chair has approved the appointment of Craig Perino to the Fenestration Water Resistant Work Group. Thanks to Craig for agreeing to serve. The Residential Construction Cost Impact Work Group, the chair has approved appointment of David Hillman of Custom Design Renovations, LLC, to replace Ed Dion on the Residential Construction Cost Impact Work Group. Thanks to David for agreeing to serve. Next, the commission approval process and TAC recommendation processes for the 2020 code update. The commission will review and approve the commission's code modification approval process and the TAC code modification recommendation process and the TAC public comment review process for the 2020 code update process at the February 19th, 2019 meeting. So that might be a meeting you want to make sure you make. And finally, just as a reminder, the updated commission milestone document is leaked in the, on this month's Florida Building Code agenda on the BCIS website. Tom Campbell will provide the commission with relevant updates.
Good morning. The only thing that I have is some information on our upcoming meetings. Our February meeting is going to be on the 19th in Jacksonville at the Hyatt in downtown. Our April meeting will be on April 16th. We have not set a place yet. When I get that set, we will let you know. And our June meeting is currently set for June 18th, and we don't have a place yet for that. I'll update you in the next month or so. And then our August dates are going to be tentatively some combination of August 12th, 13th, and 14th, with it most likely just being on the 13th and 14th. The Fenestration Water Resistant Work Group will meet on February 18th, a day before the commission meeting, to have their kickoff meeting. And that is all I have, unless anybody else has some questions for me.
That meeting will be in Jacksonville as well?
Yeah.
The Water Resistant Work Group?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move along now to consider accessibility waiver applications. The commission now will consider this month's request for accessibility waivers. Justin Vogel will serve as legal counsel and present the Accessibility Advisory Council recommendations. Justin, please present the council recommendations regarding waivers requested in turn. Jason.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Schock. The first waiver application is Lilo Casado. This is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project has been completed. The issue is vertical accessibility to a warehouse and mezzanine. The project construction cost was $284,392. The compliance estimate is $137,132, which represents 48% of the total construction cost. The Accessibility Advisory Council voted to recommend that the Commission grant the waiver on the grounds of economic hardship.
So the Council's recommendation is to grant on the grounds of economic hardship. Is there any discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to move the recommendation of the Advisory Council.
Is there a second? Motion was made by Diana to move the council's recommendations and seconded by Brad Schiffer. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
The next waiver application is Greenview Hotel. This is an alteration to an existing building and facility. The project is currently in plan review. The issue is vertical accessibility to all levels. And after receiving information about the nature of the structure from the petitioner, the council voted to recommend that this petition be granted on the grounds of technical infeasibility.
Thank you, Jason. So the council's recommendations is to grant the waiver on grounds of technical infeasibility. Is there any discussion or motion?
I'll make a motion to move the recommendation of the advisory council.
Seconded by Dory.
Okay, the motion was made by Dan, seconded by by Dory. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Next, we'll be considering applications for product and entity approval. Commissioner Stone will present the POC's recommendations for entity approval and the consent agenda for product recommended for approval. And Jeff Blair will present the POC's recommendations for product approval with discussion and or comments. We will start with entity approval applications, followed by the consent agenda of product approval applications recommended for approval, and conclude with the product approval discussion items. Commissioner Stone will now present the entity approval applications and product approval applications on the consent agenda. Commissioner Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Product Approval Program Member Site Committee met Thursday, November 29th via teleconference, and we recommend 19 product approval entity applications, which are all revisions or renewals. Move approval of the 19 entities.
Commissioner Compton.
Commissioner Stone moved approval. Commissioner Compton second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
We also reviewed product approval applications, of which 136 are on the consent list, 133 by the architect engineer method, and 3 by test report. Move approval of the consent list of 136 product approvals.
Compton.
Commissioner Stone moved approval. Commissioner Compton second. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And amazingly, we had only one product approval that had a comment, and Mr. Blair will expertly take us through the discussion on that item.
Thank you, Commissioner Stone. Product FL28368 is recommended for conditional approval on the condition allowing the applicant to replace the installation instruction documents currently on the application with drawing TLI001. Any public comment? Seeing none.
Move conditional approval.
Motion moved to approval by Commissioner Stone, seconded by Commissioner Compton. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next will be considering applications for creditor and course approvals. Nandine will now present the educational POC recommendations regarding applications for creditor and course approvals.
Thank you. I move the POC's recommendation that the following two new courses be approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content. And those courses are 917.0 and 922.0.
Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Flanagan seconded the motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. I move the POC's recommendation that the updated course number 270.2 be approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content.
Second by Commissioner Flanagan, moved by Commissioner Dean. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Dean.
Thank you.
Next, we will be moving to legal report. Justin will report on relevant legal matters of interest to the commission. Justin?
Thank you, Commissioner Schock. First item, with respect to the rule challenge appeal, oral arguments were held on October 23rd. On October 26th, the appellate court affirmed the ruling of the administrative law judge. This should conclude the litigation, and the commission is on track to continue with its work plan for the development of the next edition of the code. Does anyone have any questions about that? In that case, moving on, at the past meeting, Commissioner Brown posed a question about whether commissioners could be held personally liable if the commission were to inadvertently omit model code provisions that were necessary to maintain federal funding or discounts. At the time, I said I thought that was unlikely, but would investigate further. I've looked into it, and the answer is generally going to be no. As a general rule, if members of an administrative board are acting within its jurisdiction in good faith and with no malice or corrupt motives, then they will not be exposed to personal liability for honest errors or mistakes committed in the exercise of their duties. So I don't foresee this being an issue with this commission. Commissioner Brown, does that address your question? In that case, that concludes the legal report. Commissioner Shunk.
Thank you, Justin. Next, we'll move to petitions for declaratory statements. If you wish to speak on a declaratory statement, please come to the public comment table once a specific declaratory statement is introduced. Justin Vogel will serve as the commission's counsel. After legal counsel review of the petition, I will ask the public comment on each petition prior to the commission's consideration of same. Justin?
Thank you. The first petition for declaratory statement is DS-2018-070 by Michael Savage of the Marion County Department of Building Safety. Petitioner is a building official in the process of evaluating several permits for sunrooms and single-family residences. Petitioner wishes to know whether Category 3 sunrooms are required to comply with the receptacle spacing requirements of Section E-3901.2 of the Florida Building Code Residential. The electrical and code administration tax met concurrently and considered the petition on November 27, 2018, and recommended the staff's suggested answer, which has been provided to you, be adopted without change. Mo?
The answer, no. The provisions of Section R301.2.1.1 of the FBC Residential and AMA 2100 as a reference from within Section R301.2.1.1 are more specific than the provisions of Section E-3901.2 of the FBC Residential with regard to the definition of sunroom and the replacement of receptacles outlets, and therefore according to Section 102.1 of the FBC building, the requirement of Section E-3901.2, including the receptacles, the spacing requirement, do not apply to the project in question. The electrical requirement for the project in question are subject to the requirement of AMA 2100.
Thank you. Now we'll open for public comment. Mr. Hetzel, please state your name and for the record and comment.
Joe Hetzel, Thomas Associates. I'm the technical advisor to the National Sunroom Association. I assumed that position in addition to my duties with DASMA and the American Association of Automatic Door Manufacturers. I assumed the position of technical advisor to NSA this past August 1st. Just a brief comment that I support staff recommendation. The NSA 2100 is a consensus standard, and the requirements are recognized within the international codes, and I believe is adopted within the Florida codes. Thank you.
Joe Belcher, JDB Code Services for the Aluminum Association of Florida. We support the action of the TAC and request the commission support that action.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll go back to the commission. Any discussion from the commission or a motion?
Commissioner, I'd like to make a motion to uphold both tax recommendations.
Is there a second? Commissioner Gerwig made the motion. Commissioner Schiffer seconded to uphold the TAC recommendations. Is there any further discussion? See none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item two, Jason.
The next declaratory statement is DS-2018-072 by Greg Miller of Palm Beach County Buildings Advisory Board. Petitioner is the chairman of that board, which seeks answers to the following questions about requirements for replacement windows in a residence. First question is, where a customer is applied to replace all of the windows in a home that was constructed in 1990, and the estimated cost of the replacement windows is less than 30% of the assessed value of the structure. Are the replacement windows required to meet the solar heat gain coefficient specified in table R402.1.2 of the Energy Code? And the second question is, where a customer is applied to replace a single window in a home that was constructed in 1990, and the estimated cost of the replacement window is less than 30% of the assessed value of the structure, is that replacement window required to meet the solar heat gain coefficient specified in table R402.1.2? The Energy TAC considered the petition on November 29, 2018, and recommended that staff suggest an answer, which has been provided to you, be adopted without change. Well,
For the first situation, the answer is no, as per section R101.4.2 and the definition of renovated buildings of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, energy conservation, residential, the code, the replacement window in question are not required to meet the provisions of the code, including the solar heat gain coefficients listed in table R402.1.2 of the code. The answer to item number B, the answer is yes, as per section R101.4.2 and the definitions of renovated building of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, energy conservation, residential, the code, the project in question is exempt from the provisions of the code. For the second situations, there were also two items. To the first one, the answer is no, as per section R101.4.2 and the definition of renovated building of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, energy conservation, residential, the code, the replacement window in question is not required to meet the provisions of the code, including the solar heat gain coefficient listed in table R402.1.2 of the code. To item B, the answer is yes, as per section R101.4.2 and the definition of renovated building of a 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, energy conservation, residential, the code, the project in question is exempt from the provisions of the code. Thank you.
Okay, we're open for public comment.
Good morning. Robert Nichols with Palm Beach County Building Department.
Sir, you're going to have to hold the mic down the entire time you're speaking. There's a little button there.
Robert Nichols with Palm Beach County Building Department. We are here to give our objecting opinion to the decision as rendered. As we know, that this has been a controversy going on before 2010. Does the 30% rule apply? Does the 30% rule not apply? And depending on who you ask, you can get an answer on whatever viewpoint. And logically, you can read the section and make a determination that the buildings would be exempt based on the 30% rule. But as time went on, there were definitely movements to basically try to give clarification. For one, 501, well, actually Chapter 5 to begin with was added in this code cycle to deal with existing building codes solely in the energy model. And so therefore there are specific references to existing building codes throughout Chapter 5 that are specific to window changeouts and fenestrations, such as, I mean, you get into 501.7, building system components. Well, replacement fenestrations was added to that. And it says thermal efficiency standards are set for the following building systems and components where new products are installed and replaced in existing buildings and for which a permit must be obtained. New products shall meet the minimum efficiencies allowed by this code for the following systems and components. That language also is found, very similar language is also found in the state statutes, 553.901 or 3, I believe it is. You can then go on later, moving down, where it talks about, 503.1.1.1, replacement fenestrations, where some or all of the existing fenestration units is replaced with a new fenestration product, including sash and glazing. The replacement fenestration unit shall meet the applicable requirements for U factor and solar heat gain as provided in Table 402.1.2. So I guess when you boil all the fat off of this, is the question then becomes, what super? Does the general statement of exempted buildings supersede the more specific statement as found in Chapter 5? It is our belief it does not. And therefore, we believe that the 30% rule does not apply in alterations where you have less than 30%. Even the code speaks about it basically as saying that the specific supersedes or the more restrictive supersedes the general. So, again, you're going to find opinions on this from many different sources. I even found three opinions from BOAF, and again, they are opinions, nothing more than that. They're just like a nose on everybody's face. We all have one. Though they're just opinions, they are opinions from very knowledgeable people in the code profession. And we look to these people for their opinions. So, with that being said, we just, for the record, would like to say that our position on this is different than what the board has come up with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
We can see how this goes. Good morning, Commissioners, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Eric Lacey. I'm the chairman of the Responsible Energy Codes Alliance, and we submitted comments on this issue at the Energy TAC, and there's a hyperlink to our comments in the agenda today. And thank you, staff, for putting the hyperlink in for us. I appreciated the comments from Palm Beach County. I'm going to just try and keep this really simple. There are three reasons why I think that the Florida Building Commission should reject this petition for declaratory statement. I'll just go through each of them one by one. The first reason, and I think the most important reason, is because a declaratory statement is an inappropriate means of deciding an issue of broad applicability like this. Now, I'm not a Florida lawyer, but I went to the Commission's website, floridabuilding.org, and there's kind of a tutorial on deck statements and what they are, what they're for, what the limitations are. And they follow a section of the Florida Administrative Rules 28-105, and I'm just going to read a section of this to you. A petition for declaratory statement may be used to resolve questions or doubts as to how the statutes, rules, or orders may apply to the petitioner's particular circumstances. A declaratory statement is not the appropriate means for determining the conduct of another person. So in other words, you would normally bring a declaratory statement on behalf of a specific address or permit. It's not really intended for a hypothetical. And what you have before you here is actually four hypotheticals, two residential hypotheticals, two commercial hypotheticals. And I submit to you that that's not really the appropriate use of this tool. I went back and looked at the petition for declaratory statement from the advisory board, and it says BCAB will use Florida Building Commission guidance to facilitate official yet non-binding advisory notices to promote uniformity within Palm Beach County and thereby resolve the differences of interpretation currently in effect. Now, while I can appreciate the interest in having uniformity in code enforcement, and I think that's a good goal, and we'll talk about that in a minute, a declaratory statement is not really appropriate for that. And so I think for that reason, the commission should reject this declaratory statement, send it back. It needs to have an address or a permit number. It needs to apply to a specific set of circumstances. That's at least according to what's on the commission website. The second reason why I think this should be rejected is this is an issue that goes more broadly than just to replacement fenestration. What's at issue here is whether or not the commission can regulate existing buildings. Because if you take the staff recommendation out to its logical conclusion, then applying the so-called 30% rule would basically keep the commission away from regulating some really important systems and components that get changed out in an existing building. The staff recommendation seizes on this definition of renovated building, and that's only part of the story. Renovated building is a category that's set out in your statutes for a building where there's a 30% renovation, where the renovation costs 30% of the assessed value of the building. But there's a whole other category, and that's replacement systems and components for which the Florida Building Commission has set thermal efficiency requirements. Now, I want to go back to June. You all heard another declaratory statement request dealing with replacement air conditioning components. And the 30% rule was not raised there. You all understood that, you know, the commission sets these requirements for replacement systems and components, and you have to. It's part of your role as commissioners. And so back in June, you made a decision affecting existing buildings when it came to, you know, replacement HVAC components. And it even cited the same section of the code, R501.7, which applies to existing building thermal efficiency requirements. But in that decision, this whole issue of the, you know, 30% threshold didn't come up. So I think it would be inconsistent with your prior actions as commissioners and with the broader regulation of existing buildings to approve this petition. The third reason why I think you should reject this is because whether or not you agree or disagree with the content, I know everybody has an opinion about whether or not replacement fenestration should be regulated or not, and what the SHGC should be and not. That issue is more appropriately resolved in the code development process. And we have, you know, 4 more days to submit a code change proposal. Last cycle, in the 6th edition, I actually put in a code change proposal that was adopted into the code that exempted replacement fenestration in Climate Zone 1 from the U factor requirements. I thought that would solve this issue. As you know, this is something that we've been interested in for 6 or 7 years. It solved half of the issue, I think. And I'd be more than happy to work with folks if they want to figure out some other kind of provision that would be broadly applicable, that would be clear in the Florida Building Code to resolve this once and for all. I think that there's a right way of doing this, and there's also a wrong way, and I would encourage you to reject this petition and try to do it the right way. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fine, haven't seen you in a while.
Good morning.
Now you're back.
Mr. Acting Chair, Commissioners, Robert Fine. I don't really have a dog in the fight about fenestration. My comment has to do with the last speaker's comment regarding declaratory statements, which I do a fair number of and find them to be very valuable to my clients and people doing development in Florida. I am, by the way, a Florida lawyer. And I had two very good mentors, I think, regarding these issues. One was a gentleman named Fred Dudley, and the other one, some of you may know, Jim Richmond. who taught me a lot over many years. And as I understand it, I didn't know this was coming up, so I didn't prepare more detail, but the declaratory statement statute and rules for the building commission are slightly different than those for general declaratory statements, which actually give the commission a little bit more leeway. You don't have to have a permit or a project. You do have to have a very defined set of facts for which someone is requesting how the code applies to it. And then the statute provides that that declaratory statement is binding on other projects in Florida with the same set of facts, which would not be the case if it was only intended to affect one particular project period. So in considering the issues and the requests for not or for dismissing the petition from the last speaker, I would just like to say you've got exceptional counsel and they can guide you, but I think the issue of declaratory statements, you know, only being to an address or a permit, I don't believe that's the correct interpretation of the rule. And the way you've been doing it for a long time, I think, has been very useful to people developing and building in Florida. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pine. Mr. Belcher is next. Joe?
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the Commission. Joe Belcher, JDB Coach Service, and I'm speaking strictly for myself. And I have no dog in the fight, as Eric said. However, in the 2010 DEC statement, I was the one that filed it on this exact same question. And as you remember, that was a much more contentious issue back at that time. We had Mr. Dudley on the opposite side, and we had quite a few meetings of the Energy TAC. Every time it came out saying, yes, replacement windows do have to meet the code. At the last meeting, legal counsel for the commission made it known in this forum that their recommendation was going to be that it was an inappropriate DEC statement for the reasons basically that Eric Lacey stated earlier. I just wanted to refresh those and to bring that up to those that were not around at that time, that that was in fact the ruling at that time. I'm not saying whether it was incorrect or what, but when that statement came out of legal counsel, I, as the proponent of the DEC statement, withdrew the DEC statement so that we did not wind up with a unclear statement. At that time, the commission did say that this was a subject that should be left to the discretion of the local jurisdictions to make a determination. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Belcher. Mr. Buck?
Good morning. My name is Doug Buck. I represent the Florida Home Builders Association. And I got a really bad cold, so I apologize if I fade in and out. I wish I knew the code better. I hear this issue come up repeatedly. And I think it's a, from my vantage point, it's a combination of, there's some things in the statutes, there's some things in the code, but I never hear a discussion about what the policy should be. What do you want? There are advocates that would like that when you replace something, you have to bring everything up. Windows. I can understand that. It's also a heck of a cost burden to homeowners. And so what you see is they replace one window at a time and they just work around the system. It seems to me that the commission should come to an understanding of what the policy you want to achieve is, and then your lawyer, Mo, make a recommendation to you that maybe we need to change some things. And it may be that we need to change or eliminate some statutory provisions that would allow you to achieve your objectives in the code. And I know there are FEMA requirements and others. I hear this issue come up repeatedly. It never seems to get answered satisfactorily. But I never hear a discussion of what the policy outcome that you want to achieve. So I'm going to make a suggestion that sometime between now and as soon as possible, if there are changes to the, in the legislature that you need to do, that that kind of gets passed on to the legislature. Now, this commission, departments, new governor, but I'm sure the Home Builders Association would work with you to advocate consistency in this interpretation. And I'm looking at some of my members, and they're shooting darts at me right now. But so I'm going to leave you with, don't just kind of have this discussion and then it just sits there until you have the discussion again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Any further comments? Seeing none, we'll go back to the commission. Any clarifying questions or comments or discussions? Shane.
Commissioner, I have a couple questions for staff, if that'd be appropriate at this time. The first question that I have, you know, especially after hearing the public comment on it, you know, this is a question for Mr. Vogel, is based on the information that's provided and everything, I mean, is it your opinion that we have the legal substantiation to make a decision based on the deck statement as it was submitted, or is there something more than that the proponent needs to complete before we'd be able to do something like this?
Yes, Commissioner Gerwig, I'd be happy to tell the full commission what I told the TAC, where Mr. Lacey brought up these same arguments at that time. And I would respectfully disagree with his conclusions about the about whether this deck statement is sufficient. Just because the subject of a declaratory statement petition may be of interest to a broader class of individuals does not make it inappropriate to consider. I believe the petitioner has provided specific facts in this case that are sufficient, legally speaking, and if the commission feels, as the TAC did, that it's sufficient for them, for you to provide an answer, then I think that it would be legally defensible to do so. Also, with respect to hypothetical questions, actually the whole purpose of declaratory statements is to make it so that an individual, the petitioner, can plan their affairs accordingly. And so there's nothing that forbids a hypothetical question. There may be a particular project they have in mind, but it's not finalized yet, and they want to know whether their course of action is something that they can pursue. That doesn't fit with this one, but just you are allowed to consider hypothetical questions. There does have to be a specific set of facts and circumstances. So, and with respect to what Mr. Buck said, I believe he was generally referring to a policy discussion maybe occurring outside of this process or later. I would just caution the commission that they should be looking at the specific questions that were posed by the petitioner and whether it can provide an interpretation of those rules or statutes that are being asked of it. A declaratory statement, as Mr. Lacey did correctly note, is not the not the means for the commission to provide public sort of policy directives. It should just be a straight interpretation of what has already been passed.
Thank you, appreciate it. And then I have a couple questions for Mr. Madani. Mo, there's a lot of, you know, going back and forth between the general requirements and the specific requirements. We, you know, we're familiar with what the statutory language, we're familiar with the language at the administration section of the Energy Code. And then you get back into a little bit deeper in the Energy Code, and it discusses the specific requirements for fenestration replacement and everything, which is, you know, just kind of trying to figure out the purpose of those sections if it's not meant to be applied. And as a building building official, that's one of the things that's kind of difficult, especially with this particular issue, is there's more than one way to get there, you know, based on the language that's in the code referenced by language and statute. So my question would be, is this an issue of a general requirement versus a specific requirement? Is that truly what's at hand in this case? And then the next kind of follow-up question would be, so does that make it a lot, if we approve it based on using the general language or using the so-called 30% rule, would this then make it appropriate for replacement windows to not meet any of the provisions of the energy code at all? So basically they could go back to this single glazing and that kind of thing. I'm not really sure on how the applicability would be in this case.
I think clearly when, first of all, this is Momadani. When I looked at this issue, and actually we have looked at this issue for so many years. I have been with the program since inception. And the 30% has been in the code, with the energy code, before it was the international energy code. So it's the 30% rule, if the way it's really placed in the energy code in chapter 1, normally, first things you want to do whenever you want to use the code, you look at what is the scope of this code, what it does cover, what it does not. So I would go to chapter 1 and I see there is a section in there. It says section R101.4.2, exempt building. Building exempt from the provision from the building code, energy conservation, include existing building except those considered renovated buildings. And the code strictly provided you with a specific definition for renovated building, a residential or non-residential building undergoing alteration that varies or change insulation, HVAC system, boiler heating, a system or exterior envelope conditions, provided the estimated cost of renovation exceed 30% of the assessed value of the structure. This is a specific requirement. This is not really general requirements. So we start here. Say, okay, with renovated buildings, then it is. But I'm also speaking on the issue of replacement of windows. You know, that's really where we are at this point. Other people could come and say other things about mechanical systems and all that, but that's another issue. So, taking these specific definitions, and as stated in this code, when I look at it, sure, it's not going to take me to those sections that speak about replacement windows, because I'm already said, you know, it's fall within below the 30%, so it's not renovated buildings. Sure, replacement window will apply if you exceed the 30%. If you're doing a renovated project and your cost of alteration is 30%, whether you're replacing windows or you can replacing a roof or what have you, then the 30% here, above 30% will become renovated buildings, then those windows that you're replacing just need to meet the code. And that's how I looked at it, and this is really through the history of it. Has been my understanding. I know there were attempts to add certain things in the code, but really your issue here is what's in the law, and the issue what's in the code, how it's written, and the scope of the code, and how it's going to be applied. That's how I use the codes. I've been with the codes for so many years, and how we apply it. So I think Eric did touch on certain things with regard to the fact, maybe we need to work on it more through a code change or change the law or what have you, but this is where we are. The scope of the, we have to really, you go with the scope of the code and how it's written.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the answer to my questions. Drew, Commissioner Smith?
I'd like to make a motion to approve this declaratory statement as per staff's recommendations.
Oscar,
second.
Say
second. Thank you.
got a question from Commissioner Brown.
So we have a motion made by Commissioner Smith and seconded by Commissioner Kalea. So under discussion, Commissioner Brown.
I sure wish I understood more about the issue at hand, but I do want to ask a couple of questions, more procedural than anything, and I think I heard an answer, but I just want to be sure. There were two issues that stuck out in my mind that was raised by the second presenter. Procedural seemed to me, and one was that he suggested the action we were fixing to take was not consistent with a description of declaratory statements per our website, and I think legal counsel alluded to that answer. Just if you could confirm for me that you think it's not inconsistent. And secondly, I think Mo answered this question, but I'm not sure, and that is the presenter suggested that the action we would take if we approve this would be inconsistent with a previous action on another matter I think he mentioned in a June meeting. And I think you answered that a moment ago, Mo, but I'm not sure. Can y'all confirm for me that we're not fixing to take an action that's inconsistent with a previous action?
Yes, Commissioner Brown. I believe what Mr. Lacey was saying was that the sort of general guidance that's provided on the Commission's website with respect to declaratory statements includes relevant provisions from the Florida Administrative Code. I'd have to go and see exactly what we have posted, but especially if it's just copy and pasted, I'm familiar with those, and I have no issue with the Commission moving forward. I understand Mr. Lacey's arguments, but I don't interpret them the same way that he does. I agree more with Mr. Fine, who also came up and spoke. I don't believe that there is a procedural or legal hurdle with the Commission moving forward if it feels that it has sufficient facts upon which to base an interpretation.
Mo. Yeah. On the other issue, we did issue a declaratory statement. It has to do with the change out of equipment and all that. But the subject matter of that declaratory statement was not the 30% rule. It has to do with the change out and when you're changing a system and meeting the efficiency rating of those equipment. The 30% was not the subject matter. So that's why I think I would say it was really some different subject at this point. I will not really tie the two at this point.
Commissioner Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to comment that I thought the DEC statement was specific. What they were asking did not have a permanent address, but it was very specific, which I thought all DEC statements are specific to that DEC statement. And I support the motion, and I will vote for it. Staff recommendation.
Any further comments? Hearing none, all in favor of the staff recommendation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
One opposed? Is that correct? Commissioner Stone opposed. Thank you.
20 carries. So it's 25-1, so that carries, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. We'll move forward now. Well, first of all, I don't see Dr. Pervat in the audience. Is there anybody from University of Florida that was going to present his findings? I think what we'll do is we'll skip over that particular issue and go to committee reports and see if he shows up by then, and we'll figure out what we're going to do at that point. Okay? Is everybody all right with that? Okay. So, committee chairs, please confine your TAC and POC reports to a brief summary of key issues and recommendations emphasizing the issues requiring an action from the commission. Please frame any needed commission actions in the form of a motion. Acceptance of the committee report does not approve any recommendations contained within the report, and specific recommendations must be considered by separate motion. There is no need to read the TAC or POC minutes since their minutes are complete. Minutes are linked to the committee's subsequent meeting agendas from approval by the respective committee. We will start with the Code Administration Committee. Commissioner Shane Gerwick will now present Code Administration TAC reports and any recommendations. Commissioner Gerwick.
Thank you, Commissioner Schock. The Code Administration Technical Advisory Committee met on November the 27th. In addition to administrative and procedural items, the committee took up DEC Statement Number 2018-070, which was heard today, and concluded with their finding. Chairman, I move for approval of my report.
Is there a second? Motion made by Commissioner Gerwick, seconded by Commissioner Flanagan. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Educational POC. Nandine will now present the Educational POC report and recommendations.
Thank you. The Education POC met by teleconference on November 28th at 10 a.m. After establishing a quorum, we reviewed the courses that I brought to you today. We had an administrator's report, and we adjourned at 10:08. I move approval of the report.
Commissioner May, is there a second? Commissioner Flanagan, second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Report carries. Thank you. The electrical TAC. Commissioner Flanagan will now present the electrical TAC report and any recommendations. Commissioner Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a joint teleconference on 10/27 at 10 a.m. to discuss and vote on DS 2018-070. We voted and recommended for approval, and we adjourned our meeting at 10:33, and I move to have my report motion for approval.
Yes. Is there a second? Commissioner Batts seconded the report. Commissioner Flanagan made the motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by... Oops, is there a discussion?
No, sorry. I was making a count.
Oh, okay. So if there's no further discussion, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Has anybody, did we try to reach out to Dr. Privat?
Mo's doing it, yes. Mo's tried it.
Okay. Hey, what? Let's.
We still have two more tech meetings, and we have a couple.
Oh, I got another page.
We have energy project approval.
Okay.
We just did electrical. So Drew's.
I told you my thumb won't turn the pages. Okay. Yeah. Energy TAC. Commissioner Smith will now present the energy TAC report and any recommendations. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. The Energy TAC met on November 29th at 2 p.m. We had a quorum. We discussed a declaratory statement and adjourned shortly thereafter. Thank you.
Everybody.
A motion for approval.
Motion made and seconded by Commissioner Gaia. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Product Approval POC. Commissioner Stone, would you please present the Product Approval POC report and any recommendations?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to all the things we've already addressed, we've reviewed 158 product approvals by DBPR staff, 12 of which had comments, but no action needs to be taken, and I move approval of the report.
Seconded by Commissioner Compton. Signify by any further discussion. Seeing none, all in favor of the report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Let's go ahead and do general public comment.
Okay. We'll go ahead and try to get the general public comment and commissioner comments out of the way and see if we hear back from Dr. Privat in that time frame. So first of all, if you wish to address the commission and have not yet signed the speaker's list, please do so now. The commissioner welcomes your comments on any actions or any other topic under the commission's purview or authority. So is there anyone who wants to address the commission? Seeing none. We'll move on to commissioners. Are there any commissioners who wish to make any general comments to the commission or identify any issues and possible agenda items for future commission meetings? Commissioner Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You could have knocked me over with a feather yesterday in the news that I heard about Jay. It hit me very personally, but I really appreciate staff letting us know as soon as it was made available. And I hope maybe through our great staff that we have, I'm sure we'll be sending a sympathy card. It was very nice to meet his wife and children. I never had the pleasure. And I just want to put my two cents in about Jay. And you're doing a great job. Thank you,
sir. Commissioner. Any other commission comments? Commissioner Schaffer.
And it's the last comment. Do you have a budget to send flowers to a funeral?
Yeah, we'll work on getting some, and we'll let you all know when we have dates of any services or a celebration of life or anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. Yep, sure.
Mr. Chairman, I'm John Wiseman. First off, I'm first day here, and one of the reasons I joined this was because my friend Jay Carlson was running it, so I'm very, very sorry on many levels, and thank you for your support of the family. It's a beautiful family, and Jay was a great friend. I do know that they're planning a celebration of life on January 12th. There is not going to be a funeral service. They have set up a memorial fund in lieu of flowers and donations. And I think my office can get that link to you so you can send it out to the group.
Yep, and we'll get it out.
So, thank you.
Thank you. All right. I saw Dr. Verratt in the room here a second ago, so I guess it was just in time. Is he still here? Where'd he go? He needs 5 minutes? Okay, we'll do
it.
We'll take a 10-minute recess so they can set up the presentation.